Today's shiur is Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin about 9 lines from the top. Nata Ruba Hare Kuchatzer Motor. Yesterday we had learned at the bottom of Daf Chaf Gimel Mabez, if we have a karfif which is hukaf ladira, used for residence, then it's mutter to carry in that karfif no matter what the size is. However, the Brice had indicated that if the karfif was planted with vegetables, that indicates that it is no longer hukaf ladira, and therefore you cannot carry in it if it's larger than a base asayim. The Gemara said, however, that if it was planted with trees, then it's mutter to carry in that karfif. Quotes the Gemara, not the Ruba, if most of the karfif was planted with trees, harek chotzer, it has the halacha of a chotzer, umutter, and it's permitted to continue carrying in this karfif. Amar Yudam Arvimi, for who shesuin at the blos? This heter only applies if the trees are planted in rows. So since it's planted in rows, it shows that it's a place that's pleasant to be in, and therefore retains the status of an area which is hukaf ladira. Rav Nachman says, apish enesun etzablos, even if it's not planted in rows, trees do not take away the status of hukaf ladira. And as the Mefarshim explained, since we're dealing with an area that was originally designated as a place of residence of hukaf ladira, trees not being planted in a row will not be enough of a factor to make it lose that status. Says the Gemara, Bar Yehuda ikla beir Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. Bar Yehuda came to the home of Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. Chazina lahan de la vida at the blos. He saw a karfif in which trees have been planted, and they weren't arranged in rows. And people were anyway carrying in that karfif. Amalei, so he said to, don't you agree with what Rav Avimi said, that it's only mutter to carry there if it's planted in rows? Amalei, so responded, I hold like Rav Nachman, and it makes no difference if it's planted and rows, or it's planted in non-rows. We're going to learn on the bottom of the Amid, Mitzvah Shem, a very important halacha. The halacha is that if a karfif is not hukaf ladira, as we said, you're not allowed to carry it if it's larger than the base of Zayim. But if the karfif opens up to dwelling place, to place of residence, now the karfif is rendered enclosed for residential purposes. However, the opening from the dwelling to the karfif must precede the enclosure to qualify. As the Gemara says, you have to have hukaf. First, you have the enclosure, ulpsoif pasach, and then the opening. If on the other hand, first you have the entrance, and if the entrance, so you have to have Pesach, I'm sorry, I have to repeat. You have to have, as the Gemara says, in Pesach ulpsoif hukaf. First you have to have the entrance, and then the enclosure around. But if you have it vice versa, first you have the enclosure, and then the opening, that would not qualify to make the karfif a mokum dira. The reason for this, explains the Mishnah Berura, that if you first have the opening, if you first have the opening and then you have the enclosure, it's obvious that your area is an area for residence. But if on the other hand, if you don't have it that way, it doesn't look like you did it for residence. The Levush has an interesting pshat. He said, because we learned from the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, first they erected the Mishkan, and then, which is the Dira, and then afterwards they made the walls. Here too, you have to have the Pesach first, and then afterwards the enclosure, to show that it's a place of residence. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Karfi Yosef Beis Hashayim Shalai Hukaf Ladira. So we have this Karfif, which is larger than a Beis Hashayim that was not made for residence. So right now, you can't carry in it. Now, you open it up to a chatzar. You open it up to an area of dwelling. And you open a door. Keitzer Oyser, what does he have to do? Bearing in mind the Gemara, the halacha we just said. Says the Gemara, Pirates by Pirtsa Yosef Messer, he should make a breach in the hekif that's around the karfif, larger than 10 amos, which will now disqualify this hekif, because as we've learned so many times, any breach in a hekif which is larger than 10 amos is considered a breach, not an entranceway, and disqualifies it. And then Goydro Imamida al Esser, and then restore the breach that it should not be open more than 10 amos, and then you will be allowed to carry it, because now you have a situation of Pesach. You first have an opening, Lopsaif Hekif, and then you have the enclosure. The Mishnah Berurah points out, you don't have to enclose the entire breach that you made. If you made a breach, let's say, of 11 amos, so the breach is a breach, because anything more than 10 amos is a breach, and now if you just close up one amma of those 11 amos, the 10 amos that remain are a Pesach. A Pesach isn't the problem. The Mishnah Berurah, in fact, says, you don't necessarily have to enclose that entire 11th amma either. It'll be enough that you'll put up a Tzuras HaPesach on that extra amma. Because as we've learned so many times, a Tzuras HaPesach has the same halacha as a Mechitza. The Mashah points out that if we're dealing with a situation where we can make a Poritz Merubah La'aymit, that if we make a breach in the wall, which will leave the wall in a situation that there's more piritza than oimid, that also considered a breach, even if the breach is not necessarily 10 wide, because we say parts merubah al oimid is always considered a breach, and then afterwards, says the Mashal, just close it up, that it should be back to oimid merubah al paritz, and we'll be fine with that. The Rishas says a different etzah. The Rishas says, if you take off the wall, you take off from the height of the wall, that you'll be left with less than 10 amos height, which as we've learned so many times, any mechitza which is not 10 tefachim high is not considered a mechitza, then you also have been considered that you breached the wall. And then afterwards, if you rebuild it, as long as you have it less than 10 amos, you'll be fine. Again, the purpose in all of these things is to breach the wall. In fact, the Trumas Hadeshin says a very interesting psak. He says you don't have to do anything physical to the wall, perhaps. He says just bring sand to one side of the wall and make the wall inaccessible because you put up a pile of sand. That will disqualify the wall, because a wall which is not accessible because it's completely covered up is no longer a wall. And then when you remove the sand, you will have a situation of that you had Pesach Upsoif Hekif. Now the Gemara wants to understand, how far do we go with this kula? Iboiluhu, parts am of a godar. If somebody breached an am in the wall, fenced it for an amma, parts am of a godama, parts am of a godra, and then he did it. Until after all these breaking and fixing, here we have a wall which was breached over 10 amas, and now is corrected. So the Gemara's question is it necessary for there to be a breach of more than 10 amos at one time? Or is the fact that we have a breach, we have a wall that was breached and fixed, that shows that we now have, and as the Ritva explains, that since it was breached, and all those breaches were breached, l'shem hekif, it was breached and reopened, that it should be a makom hukif ladira. So we have a wall that was hukif ladira, and we have a situation that we have the door already existing between the karfif and the chatzar, and now we have a breach that was made l'shem dira, and then correct the l'shem dira, albeit it wasn't done at one time. Amalai, so he responded, lav ha'inu d'tanam. Isn't this something that we learned in the Mishnah? It says in the Mishnah, we know that the halacha is that a keli that becomes tamei, one of the ways it could become tar if it's broken. So the Mishnah, as we've discussed this Mishnah many times, says that a hole of a keli which is sold in a store, any size hole, will make it considered broken, because nobody's going to buy a keli with a hole in it. However, a hole that it is in a keli that is that's used by a person in his home, even if it has a hole, he may continue using it further. So says the Mishnah, the shear to be considered broken, it has to have the hole the size of a pomegranate. So Chizkiah asked the following shayla. There was a hole the size of an aleph, and he seals it. And another hole is made, and it's sealed. Until we have a situation that we had a hole the size of a pomegranate, but it was never at one time. Don't we say that that's considered that this had that this keli had a hole the size of a pomegranate, and therefore the keli is no longer tamei? Or do we say since it was not at one time, that's then it's not considered that it had a hole the size of a pomegranate? And again, the question is, how do we look at this keli? Do we look at the keli? Do we say that the keli had to have a hole the size of a pomegranate? And that never happened. It never had the hole the size of a pomegranate at one time. Or do we say that we have to have a situation that the keli was broken to a certain degree and fixed? And here, it was broken to that degree, even though it wasn't broken at one time. Vamalei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan answered, Rabbi, Shanisaloi, you taught this thing. Because Allah is sandal, if you have a shoe, a sandal, which also is susceptible to tumah. Shanifsuka akas me'aznov, the one of the ear flaps, one of the straps of it broke for sickness and he fixed it. Tumah medris. It's still tumah medris. If a zov, or a zova, a nida, who have the halacha that any item which they lean on, sit on, step on, becomes tameh. So if a nida, a zav, stepped into one of these shoes, it's still tameh medrash. Why? Because the shoe with one strap left is still considered a shoe. Nifsuk ishniv sikna. If the second flap breaks and he fixes it, tar min medrash, it's no longer tameh medrash, av tameh magen medrash. It still has the lesser level of tumma of a keli that was touched by something that tumas medris. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is like this: the keli is no longer tumi medris. Why is the keli no longer tumi medris? Because both straps were broken. So when the second ear breaks, the tumma medris goes away. However, the tumma of touching a medris, which the sandal acquired because it touched itself, and the sandal itself had on the tumas medris, that doesn't go away, and that remains there. Vamitla. And we, Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah, said, how did you explain the Mishnah? Mishnah Rishona. Why, when the first strap is broken, is it still tumas medris? Dokai Mishnir, because the second flap is still there. So the question is Shnei, and now when the second strap is broken, Hakayim Rishonah, the first one is there, Varmitlon, and you explain the toss, Panim Chadoshes Balukan, a new sandal has come into existence. Since we have two new ears, they're not considered part of the original sandal. There's nothing left of that one. We have a new one, and the first sandal was Tomei, this is a new sandal, it's not Tomei. Hachinami, so in the case of the utensil, with the pomegranate size puncture, although it wasn't punctured at one time, we will say Padam Kedoshes Lokan, this is a new keli, which is not tummy. Karale, so Chizkiah was so impressed with the comparison Rabbi Yochanan made, and he said, Less than Baranish, this is not a mere person. This is a malach, Rashi explains, somebody who's such a Talmud Chacham. Ikadami, some say what Chizkiyah said was, Kigayin doin ber mensch. This is a mensch. This is the way a person is supposed to be. A person is supposed to be such a big Talmid Chacham to understand this. And taking it back to our Gemara too, even though the breach was on Amma at a time, until we reached the 10 plus Amma breach, and it was corrected one Amma at a time, so you never had a breach of 10 plus Ammas, it wouldn't make a difference. It would still be considered that the Hekev came after the Pesach, and it'll be fine. There's an interesting Shaila based on this Gemara in the Chasam Sofer. The halacha is in Tefillin that they have to be written Kesidron. They have to be written in the proper order. Every letter has to be written in the proper order. You can't correct the letter. If a letter becomes disqualified and then you want to correct it, it's too late because you already wrote a letter afterwards. So he says, what's going to be the halacha if one of the letters of the Tefillin is still kosher? He says the case is a Vav. The Vav is very narrow and you make it a little fatter. You add a little ink. The Vav is still a kosher Vav, but you want it to be fatter, and then after you corrected it, you now the original Vav disappeared, and you're only left with the ink that was put on later, which is Shleika Sidrin, which is put on after the letters after that letter were written. Will that pair of tefillin still be kosher or not? The Chasam Sofer says that since the original Vav is gone, there's nothing left from the original Vav. We only have what was added later. And what was added later was added after the latter letters and words were written. It would not be acceptable. That's how the Chasam Sofer learns. The Miyashir disagrees vehemently with the Chasam Sofer. And he actually uses our Gemara. He says that since it was correct at one point, I don't care that it got disqualified earlier. Rav Volzner in the Shaila Shetshuvos Shevet HaLevi says the following. He says it's a difference if we wrote on top of an existing letter. Let's say we had a Vav, and the Vav is fading. So I wrote on top of it. Then he says, even if the bottom part, let's say we know will completely fade it, it won't be a problem. But if on the other hand, it wasn't that we wrote on top of it, we wrote alongside of it. That means the Vav was, let's say, narrow. And we had one strip of ink, and then we added another strip next to it. If the first strip disappears, we will have a problem with Shleika Sidrin. Amrav Kahan, Ruchava Shachoribatim. If we have a back lot behind the houses, to which normally houses then have a doorway, and if it's bigger than a base of Sayim, so we'll have the halacha of a karfif, and the halacha is, Ematatim by Elba Dalar Amos. You're not allowed to carry in it unless it's Dalar Amos. Only within Dalar Amos, you can't carry in it. Vama Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman explains, as we said earlier, this halacha of Rav Nachman. In Pasulei Pesach, if he opens an entrance from this back lot to his home, Mutal Tapta B'Koloi, then he can carry in the Rechava, because now the Rechava is a Mokim that's used Ladira for residence. Pesach Matirai. The opening makes the Rechava an area of living. However, says Rav Nachman, as we explained, we only say this when he opened the entrance to the back first, and then he enclosed the area. Aval hukaf, if the back lot was first enclosed, lupsoi pesach, and then he makes the door loy, it would not be acceptable. So the Mishnah Brewer says, quoting a Meiri, that let's say the person made the enclosure, but when he made the enclosure, he had in mind that he's going to make an opening. So although normally first the halacha is you have to have the opening and then the enclosure, says the Mishnah Brewer, since this person b'shas that he made the enclosure had in mind to make an opening, that will be adequate. The Sharetzin does say that the Prima Godim and the Shulchan Aruch Rav do not pask in that way. He still is Meikel. Now there's another Shiloh. The Gemara says you have to have a door between the house or the Chotzer and this Karfif. What's going to be halacha if you don't have a house, if you don't have a door, but you have a window? What will be the halacha? So the Bria halacha says that he's not quite, that he quotes a Prima Godim that's not quite sure if a window will do. It says Agmar says you have to have a door, but the Bi Halacha says that if the window is used in a way that we constantly transport from this karfif to the house or to the chatzar, although it's not actually a door, it's only a window, will be makel. But if it's only a window that's not used to transport back and forth, then the Mishnah Berurah says that we cannot be makel. Ask the Gemara, Pesach, if it's a situation where the door is made between the rechava and the house, and then there's a hekif around the karfif afterwards, pshita that it works. What's the chiddush? Answers Gemara, let's shrich this beidari. We're dealing with a situation where there's a granary, a place where they kept grain between the house and the rechava. We would maybe be concerned that the entranceway was not made to make access between the house and the rechava, but it's really for access to the granary, and therefore it's not considered opening from the rechava to the house, and therefore the rechava remains with its status of a karfif, which is larger than Beis HaSayim, in which you're not allowed to carry. That's what Rav Nachman teaches us, that we say that the door is also intended to be a entranceway from the house to the back lot, and that makes the back lot an area of dwelling, and you'll be allowed to carry there. Says the Gemara, Karfif Yosem Beis HaSayim Shukal Fadira. You have a karfif which is larger than Beis HaSayim, which was enclosed for residential purposes, which the halacha then is that you're allowed to carry in it. However, when the smala mayim now became full of water, as we've learned, and we started the shiur today, there's a difference if it gets full of vegetables, which we say makes it lose its status of hukaf ladira. If it's planted with trees, we say it still retains the status of hukaf ladira. And now the shaila is, what does water do? Sav rabbanan lemeima. So Rabbanan wanted to say, Kizram Dami, that it has the status like it was full of vegetables, Vasser, and it loses its status that you're allowed to carry there. Amler of Abba, Achvad Rab Reder Mishashia, Hochamin Mishmei de Rava, Mayim Kedatami Dami, water has the same status like trees, Vashara, and it retains its status of Hukuf Ladira. Omar Meimer, however, Meimer said, for who the Chazam Tashmishta, the water has to be fit for use. So, most Rishonim say fit for use means there has to be water that can be drunk. That's how Rashi explains. However, the Rashba and other Rishonim say that even if the water is not drinkable, but it's usable for washing, that's also considered chazil tashmish. Amar Ravashi, and Ravashi says, or the chazil tashmish tanami, even if the water is still usable, loya marn el she'em ba'imka yosem beis asayim. We only have a situation. We said that the flooded area is less than 2 beis saw. Avol yesh ba'amka yosem beis asayim. If you have an area of water which is larger than 2 beis saw, even if the water is chazil tashmishtei, even if it's usable water, then it won't be mutter to carry in that area. And the Rashba points out that that halacha only applies if the water is 10 tefachim deep. But if the water is, even though it's larger than a base of sayim, is not 10 tefachim deep, we wouldn't have a problem. The way to look at this is, let's say you have a backyard, which is hukuf ladira, it's your backyard, it's part of your estate, it's part of where you live, and you have a lake in it. So if, so Gemara is saying now, the lake has to be water that's chazil tashmishtei and less than a base of sayim. Otherwise, you won't be allowed to carry in the lake. What's going to be the halacha if you can't carry in the lake because the water is not chazil tashmishtei, or the water is larger than base of sayim? What's going to be the halacha in the area around the lake? So the Ritva says that you can't carry there because the rest of the backyard is open to the lake, which is an area in which you're not allowed to carry. And we know that halacha is that if one area you're not allowed to carry is open to another area that you're allowed to carry, then the halacha is that you can not carry in either area. However, the Rishonim do point out that if this lake has partitions, It's not just like a slope that leads easily into the lake, but you have like real partitions. Not certainly if you have man-made partitions, but even if the lake is built with a mechitza, then the lake would not affect adversely the rest of the chotzer. However, the Gemara says, "V'la milsi, this is not so. Mida the havi akaria, the peri. It's the same like you had a mound of fruit, which, even though it's a very large area of fruit, it doesn't disqualify the area that if it's considered hukah for dira, it remains with that status. The same thing with a lake. So the Gemara ends off that the water doesn't disqualify. However, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. However, the Ravid does point out that if the lake takes up the entire area of the Karfif, then that we would have a problem. The Gemara is saying a disgusting situation where we have actual backyard, we have actual grass and ground left over. But if the whole area is covered by water, then it would disqualify it from being considered a Karfif Hahukif Ladira, and you would not be allowed to carry there. Begins the Gemara. Hahu Rechava. There was a Rechava. And we look at diagram 142 on page 48. Dava Pumnahara. That was in Pumnahara. One side open to the Mavi of the town, which is shown on the top of the Rechava. And the other side open to a path of the vineyards. And that path have a Sogla Guda Dunahara, went into the bank of a river, which is the lower part. Now, this Rechava was larger than two base saw, and you were not allowed to carry in it. Now, since the Mavui and the Shvil Shekromim were open to this Rechava, as we just said a moment ago, if one area is that's also the carry-in is open to other areas, that adversely affects the other areas. So now you are not allowed to carry both in the Mavoi and in the Shvil Shekrom. That's the halacha. So first of all, the Rishonim ask, why don't I say that the existing walls that exist, as we see around the Rechava, by the opening, should not serve as lechis for the Mavoi and for the Shvil Shekromim? Lechis for the Mavi and the Shvil Shekromim, that they should be considered enclosed. So the Rishonim explain, one teretz is that they're wider than Dalet Amos, and we say that the halacha is that a lechi that's wider than Dalet Amos is not considered a kosher lechi. Or another teretz that's given is that since these walls don't work for the area that they're primarily meant to enclose, meaning the Rechava, so a wall that doesn't work for the area that it's primarily meant to enclose certainly cannot work for an area that it's not meant to primarily close, which are the Mavui and the Shvil Shekromim. Now the people of Pumnahara wanted to make the Rechava a place that should be used for Dira, but as we learned in Amud Aleph, we have to have a situation of Pesach Ulpsoif Hukaf to do that. And breaking the stone walls around the Rechava would have been difficult. So they wanted to know if there was another option. Amr Abaya. So Abaya begins to analyze what kind of options are there here. Heichin Avet. What should we do? Levad Lei Mechitza Gudu Nahara. Should we perhaps make a wall on top of the bank, on top of the wall that exists by the river, as is shown in picture 133. The halacha is said that wouldn't work. Einois mechitza al gabe mechitza. Somebody cannot construct a partition on top of something which is already considered an acceptable partition. In fact, the Rishonim used the following example, going back to something that we learned at the beginning of the shir. We said that let's say you have an area that was not hukaf l'shem dira, and it already has the mechitza. So we spoke at length on Amud Aleph, how could we reconstruct this area? Nobody, says the Rishonim, suggested, just put up a new mechitza on top of an existing mechitza. Why? Because putting up a mechitza on top of an existing mechitza is a meaningless act. Because I already have a mechitza. Here too, since this river, this Guda de Nahara, was already enclosed, constructing a mechitza on top of it is a meaningless act. On the other hand, Lehevet Leitzuras HaPesach Apum de Shvil Shekramim, should we make a Tzuras HaPesach at the opening of the Shvil Shekramim, as is shown in picture 144, that won't work, because Asa Gemal Shadnle, since camels constantly walk through that area from the Rechava to the river to drink, they're going to break the Tzuras HaPesach and it won't be usable. Elam Abaya, so Abaya says, what you should do is Lehevet Lechi Apeschot de Shvil Shekramim, make a lechi at the opening of the Shvil Shekramim, as is shown in picture 145, which, as the Gemara explains, Miga de Mahane le Shvil Shekramim, since this lechi is effective for enclosing the Shvil Shekramim. Why? Because as we learned many times in the first parak, we essentially have here a classical case of a movi. We have three enclosures, the two side walls and the back wall, and the halacha is when you have three sides enclosed, you just need to make a lechi on the fourth side. And we'll say that since this lechi had the effect that you now can carry in the Shvil Shekramim, it'll also work for the Rechava, because it has the din as a separator, and once it's effective for the path, it's considered a partition for the Rechava also. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Yoimru, if we're going to allow you to do this, people will say, Lechi Moyel L'Shvil Shekram De Alma. A Lechi always works, even by a Mavi Amafolish. Which is not true. Because the only time a Lechi works is by a Mavi She'en Amafolish. Now, the Rajba and the Ritva ask an obvious question. As we said a moment ago, we learned so many times in the first parak that when you have a Mavi, She'en Amafolish, a Mavi that's not enclosed on three sides, all you need to do is put up a Lechi or a Kaira and it's fine. And nobody ever suggested that we should say that it's insufficient because it wouldn't be adequate by love by Mavi Amafolish. So why all of a sudden here are we concerned that we're going to let this work here? People are going to say that it works by every Mavi Amafolish. So two terutzim are given in the Rishonim. One terutz given in the Rishonim is that since in most situations Shvil Shekramims in the city were Mavi HaMefulish, although in this particular situation that we're discussing in our Gemara, it was not a Mavi HaMefulish, since in most situations it was Mavi HaMefulish, Chazal said that you can never make a Lechi on a Shvil Shekramim, even when it's not a Mavi HaMefulish, because in most situations it was a Mavi HaMefulish. Another teretz that they give is that when did Chazal say that a lechi works by mavi? It's when, as we explained, the lechi, the mavi, is opens to chatzeris and to batim. Here we're dealing with a situation where this shvil shekramim doesn't open to all of these chatzeris and batim that were required in the earlier part of the mesechta, and therefore doesn't have the regular status of a mavi hamafolish, where a lechi alone will be sufficient. It goes without saying, I should have said this earlier, that this opening between the Rechava and the Mavui, and the Rechava and the Shvil Shekramim, is less than 10 Tfachim wide. Because if it's more than 10 Tfachim wide, then we have also the eights that we gave at the beginning of this year. Just put up one Amma, and then you will have a situation that you made a Hekif. So obviously the opening was less than 10 Ammas wide. Also, the Rishonim point out that we had learned earlier in the Masechta that whenever you're dealing with a river, there's a concern that the river may be oil certain. It may put up sediment and will not be considered a river anymore. Why are we not concerned here? So the Rishonim point out, and we spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, that we're only concerned with this in a situation where it's natural that rivers are malus certain, the rivers give up sediment. But in situations where that's not usually the case, we don't have to be concerned that that happened here either. So, says the Gemara, Ela Merava, what should be done? Avdinalei lechi lepischa demascha. We make a lechi for the mavi, and as the picture 146 shows, it already has two walls and it's source of Pesach on the third side. By making the lechi on this side, the migda mahanilei lechi lemasa, since the lechi is effective for closing the mavi, hani nami lerechava, it will also be effective for closing up the rechava, and now it's considered that it had a hekaf. Hilkach, so therefore the halacha will now be to tulla b'masa gufa, shari. Carrying the mavi now is mutter, because it's completely closed off. It has the two walls, the tzuras ha-pesach, and the lechi. To tulla b'rechava gufa, shari. Carrying in the rechava itself is mutter, because now that we have the lechi, now, so it's considered we made a hekif, and that's why it's fine. How about, asked the Gemara, m'chassel rechava m'rechava l'masa? Will you be allowed to carry from the mavi to the rechava and from the rechava to the mavi without making an erev? Pligibar of Acha Ravina. So there's a machlokes Rav Acha Ravina regarding that halacha. Chad asr v'chad shari. One of them said it's asr, one of them said it's mutter. The Gemara doesn't identify which Amira says which. However, the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Ayin Dalet, says that whenever we have a machloket between Rav Acha and Ravina, and we don't know who is the machmer and who is the mekel, we could assume that Ravina is the mekel. So Mandashari, the one that says that it's mutter to carry between the Rechav and the Mavoi, because he says the Lek of the Urim. Right now there's nobody living in the Rechav. The halacha is that when is it also to carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid is when different people live in different Rishus HaYachids. Classical example. If we have two backyards, two neighbors with our backyards next to each other, with no fence existing between those backyards. So the halacha is that you would not be allowed to carry from one backyard to the other, and you also would not be allowed to carry in each backyard either, unless an Eruvah Chatzeris were made. However, here we're dealing with a Rechava, he says, and the Rechava has nobody living there. Since nobody's living in the Rechava, so it's not like you have two Rishus HaYachid with different people living in them. One nobody's living in, and therefore you can carry from one to the other. A Mandasar, however, the one that says that you're not allowed to carry from the Rechava to the Mavi, he's concerned, Zim the Havi by the Urim, perhaps people will come to live in this Rechava eventually, and they're going to continue carrying from the Rechava to the Mavi, which now it's not going to be permitted to carry from the Rechava to the Mavi, because no Eruvah Chatzeris exist, and they're going to say, they're going to continue carrying. Therefore, even now where there are no residents in the Rechava, he prohibits carrying between the Rechava and the Mavi.